This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
A study came out last year that was disturbing, although not really very surprising. The World Health Organization did a study of people around the world who worked 55 or more hours per week compared to those who work 35 to 40 hours per week. And the study covered health and workplace data from the 1970s all the way up to 2018 and included workers in 154 countries. And they concluded that people working 55 or more hours each week face an estimated 35% higher risk of a stroke and a 17% higher risk of dying from heart disease compared to people following the widely accepted standard of working 35 to 40 hours a week. They also estimated that more than 745,000 people worldwide died in 2016 from the physical stress of working excess hours. Those are some scary numbers. Sounds to me like a good excuse for goofing off a little bit from time to time. Of course, this study was completed before the recession that was caused by COVID-19 and the pandemic. As you probably know, a lot of companies during that time cut their workforce. The remaining employees worked longer hours to make up for that. And in addition, many people began working from home, which made it harder to leave work at work. And the result was working a lot of unpaid overtime. Of course, we all know the United States is the nation of rise and grind. I mean, hard work is in our DNA. But so is being tired. We often complain about how busy we are, and we complain about how tired we are. We tend to look at our busy schedules and we say, shrug our shoulders and we say, oh, well, just how life is. We might as well get used to it. It's kind of like the doctor who was training his latest group of interns on diagnostic techniques, and he wrapped up his training by saying, and never ask your patients if they feel tired. And when they asked why, the doctor said, because everybody feels tired. And you know, he may be right about that. Everybody does feel tired. And that's normal, right? I mean, I guess it's just a hazard of modern life. Now, before you get the wrong idea, let me say that I am certainly not against hard work. I can honestly say that I am very thankful for the opportunity to work, for the privilege of using the skills and energy God gave me to make a difference in the world. I'm sure most of you feel the same way. At the same time, most of us also understand that our work can sometimes be unfulfilling. You know, when we give our best efforts to something, don't see any results, man, it's easy to lose heart. And that's when our tired feeling isn't just bone deep, it's spirit deep. Reminds me of Joseph Crater. Crater was a New York Supreme Court justice who just disappeared in August of 1930. He was 45 years old at the time. He'd gone out to dinner with some of his friends one night. And after he left the restaurant, he hopped in a taxi, rode away, never to be seen again. No evidence ever turned up to explain Justice Crater's disappearance. However, on the night he disappeared, he did leave a check for a large amount of money for his wife. And attached to the check was a brief note, and the note read simply, "I am so weary. Love, Joe." Isn't that sad? "I'm so weary. Love, Joe." Yeah, sometimes the tiredness can run spirit deep. And when it does, it steals our joy. It steals our peace. It steals our hope. But I want you to hear me today, friends. That's not what God intends for our lives. Our God is a creative God who made us for peace and for hope and for joy. And I submit to you this morning that spirit deep tiredness poisons the life that God intends for us to have. And it greatly hinders our ability to follow His plan. See, this is why it's easy for us to relate to Simon Peter and the other disciples. In the 5th chapter of Luke, crowds of people, see, they'd come to the shore of Lake Gennesaret to hear Jesus preach. And on the edge of the lake, there are these fishing boats that have come in after a long night's work. And professional fishermen, you see, in Jesus' day, they would lower these large nets into the lake, and in the dark of night, the fish couldn't see the nets, and so schools of fish were a lot easier to catch at night. Unfortunately, Simon Peter and his colleagues, they had an unsuccessful night. Jesus climbed into Simon's boat, asked him to float out a short distance from the shore, and he taught the people on the shore from the boat. And then after he finished teaching, he told Simon Peter to sail into the deep waters and let down his nets again. Note, Jesus was calling Peter to go deep. And you know what? Going deep is not something most people feel comfortable doing. But it's the process of going deep that captures the essence of spiritual meditation. It captures the essence of the knowledge of self and a knowledge of God. The truth is, you can't remain on the surface of things and expect to be rewarded with much insight or any kind of encounter. Just think of the way you did a research paper when you were in school. If you didn't go deep into your subject, you ended up with 10 pages of introduction. If you don't allow yourself to go deep in your relationships, oh, you may have many, many acquaintances, but you won't have very many true friends and probably not a true marriage partner. If you don't allow yourself to go deep in anything that interests you, you'll never truly become immersed in the joy of that activity. Whether it's music or sports or dance or chess or any other hobby, going deep allows you to truly embrace the experience, to embody it as your own and make it part of who you are, part of your core identity. But let's get back to Simon Peter. Try to put yourself in his shoes. He's just finished working all night, no results. Now, in addition to being tired and ready to go home, he's probably also really frustrated because all that work hadn't paid off. He was bone tired. He was ready to quit. And now he has Jesus telling him how to do his job. Simon answers, "Master." I don't know if he really had a little condescending smile like that, but probably. "Master." You know, stay in your lane. "Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And in this story, friends, Jesus gives us a gift. He shows us how to heal a tired spirit. One thing we learn from this story is that doing meaningful work can heal a tired spirit. Jesus is teaching us that a great way to stay energized and stay effective in our work and in our life is to go deep and do something we truly believe in. Back in 2013, just a few years ago, officials from the California Department of Social Services, they shut down this elder care facility in San Francisco. It was named Valley Springs Manor. Anyway, they shut it down because the facility had failed several inspections, and so the Department of Social Service, they planned to relocate the 20 residents who were still living there, take them to some safer facilities. Sadly, the owners of Valley Springs Manor, they didn't wait for the social services workers to complete their relocation efforts, and they just simply ceased operations immediately and announced they weren't going to pay their employees anymore. So, what happened? Well, most of the employees walked out, wouldn't you? You know, leaving behind 16 elderly, vulnerable residents with just two employees to care for them. The two employees who refused to leave work were the cook, Maurice Rowland, and the janitor, Miguel Alvarez. Imagine that. An elder care facility being staffed by only a cook and a janitor. However, these two men just couldn't imagine abandoning the patients. So, without any help, without any pay, Roland and Alvarez worked around the clock for two straight days taking care of the residents. They fed them. They kept them safe. They kept the facility clean. They dispensed the medications. Each man would go home for 1 hour every 24 hours to take a shower and then return to the manor. Well, 2 days after Valley Springs, after the owners and the other employees had abandoned the facility, 2 days later, workers from the Department of Social Services showed up to relocate the last 16 residents. And when they arrived, they were amazed to discover that the cook and the janitor had been working for 48 straight hours caring for the residents. And when asked why they stayed around, Miguel Alvarez said, "If we'd have left, they wouldn't have anybody." Maurice Rowland said, "I just couldn't see myself going home. Even though they weren't our family, they were kind of like our family for this short period of time." You see, these men found meaning in stressful, exhausting work by thinking of the residents as family. So let me say again, doing meaningful work is one of the best possible ways to heal a tired spirit. And another way to heal a tired spirit is to catch God's vision for your life. You've heard me say many times that God has a plan for our lives. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, where your life has meaning. You are here for a reason. And if you want to feel truly alive, you need to catch God's vision for your life. I read recently that people tend to view their lives either through a microscopic lens or a telescopic lens. If you view life through a microscopic lens, then you're focusing on your current circumstances, your current challenges, your current stresses. You're focused on the details of the now. And you know, that can get pretty overwhelming. However, people who view life with a telescopic lens, they see a bigger picture for their lives. They don't feel trapped by their current circumstances. Instead of being stressed out, they look forward to what God is creating in the future. According to the article I read, these microscopic people focus on problems, while the telescopic people see the possibilities. See, when Jesus told Peter to row out into deep waters and cast his net again, Simon Peter said, "Master, we worked all night, we haven't caught anything." That's a microscopic response. "But because you say so, I'll let down my nets." See, that's the moment that Simon opens himself up to be led by Jesus. The result is that Simon and his colleagues catch so many fish that they need two boats to hold all of them. And Simon is then so ashamed of his doubts that he falls at Jesus' knees and he says, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." But listen, Jesus didn't do this to shame Simon. Oh, no. He did it to show Simon a new vision for his life. He says to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." And you want to know something, church? Jesus is talking to us as well as to Simon Peter. "Don't be afraid," he says to us. "From now on, you will fish for people. Whatever work you're doing, whatever hobbies you have, wherever you find yourself, your primary purpose now is to bring people to God. Your primary purpose in your home, in your workplace, in your school, in your hobbies, in your passions, in your relationships, is to share the love of and the truth of Jesus Christ with other people." You see? Listen, don't miss this. Because this is the new vision that God has for our lives. Everybody wants to know what God's vision for your life is. There it is. There it is. Reach people for Jesus Christ. Let me tell you a true story that comes out of the early days of the church. Origen. Origen was a third century theologian whose father was arrested for being a Christian. Can you imagine? For being a Christian, got arrested. Well, Origen, who was only 17 years old at the time, he was filled with a passionate desire to follow his dad and share in the glorious martyrdom. Of course, his mother pleaded with him not to go. But the headstrong boy just didn't want to listen to her. So his quick-thinking mother did what she could. She hid his clothes. It's a true story. And even though Origen stormed around and protested, his mother stood firm and refused to tell him where his clothes were hidden. And so Origen couldn't leave the house, which kept him from volunteering for martyrdom. Now, isn't that interesting? Origen was brave enough to want to be martyred, but he wasn't brave enough to go outside naked. I mean, think about it. Stepping outside without his clothes would surely have sped up his arrest and his imprisonment. But it was a step he wasn't willing to take. In a sense, I imagine that for many of us, talking with a friend about our faith is the equivalent of going outside naked. Just makes us feel uncomfortable. We feel exposed. Oh, we have no problem declaring that we would go give our lives for Christ if he should ever ask. But to risk a bit of embarrassment for him seems to be just a little bit beyond our level of discipleship. How terribly sad. Not only were the early disciples willing to sacrifice what their friends thought of them, and sacrifice, you know, they were even willing to sacrifice their jobs, their way of life, their reputations, their time, their treasure. They were willing to sacrifice literally everything. And that's what Jesus is saying to Simon. Simon, stop looking at your life through a microscopic lens, Simon. All you're seeing is whether or not you've caught enough fish to feed your family and to turn a profit. Jesus says, Simon, catch my vision for your life. I want to work through you, Simon, to share the presence and the power of God. I want you to be involved in changing lives. And that's exactly what those fishermen did. They were weary, but you know what? They changed lives, and they changed the world. And that's the second thing we learn from today's Bible passage. Catching God's vision for your life can heal a tired spirit. And finally, from this passage, we learn that committing your life to Jesus can heal a tired spirit. Notice how the Bible passage ends. After Jesus offered Simon and his friends a new vision for their life, we read, so they pulled their boats up on shore, left what? Everything, and followed him. We say, yeah, that's what we do. I mean, not everything, but most everything. They didn't leave most everything. They didn't leave, they left everything. That's what the Bible says. I don't know, but do you believe the Bible's true? See, I do. I'm actually betting my entire life that it's true. Therefore, I believe they left everything and followed him. Who? The disciples. Oh, yeah, but they were like the disciples. No, we're all called to be disciples of Christ. Is it possible that your tired spirit is a result of not committing your whole life to the Lordship of Jesus? Are you wrestling with the idea of committing everything to Jesus' plans and purposes? And when I say everything, I'm talking about our successes and our failures and our strengths and our weaknesses, our doubts, our security, our future, our identity. Are you afraid of what might happen if you actually surrender control of your life? And if you are, isn't this a trust issue? I believe it is. Because when we commit our entire life to Jesus Christ, we're trusting him with the results of our life. Now listen, the King of the universe is offering to work through us to change lives with his power, with his message, with his love. And the good news is we don't have to do it alone. As we choose to trust the Lord to change us and use us, we will have found a sure antidote for a tired spirit. It was 100 years ago in the 1920s, Lillian Dickerson and her husband Jim moved to Taiwan to serve as missionaries. And a few years later, after the Dickerson children were all grown and gone, Lillian wanted to begin a mission of her own, the wife. And so with Jim's blessing, she set off to reach people in the most remote region of Taiwan. She worked with medical missionaries at first, and pretty soon she founded a school. She spent more than 30 years working among the poorest, the most remote people in Taiwan and Indonesia. And she walked literally thousands of miles through thick forests and rushing rivers to bring medicine and food and education and love to people in desperate need, including lepers and orphans. She founded schools, she founded orphanage, she founded clinics and churches. And someone once asked Lillian Dickerson how she could continue working so enthusiastically when she was surrounded by, as they said, an ocean of suffering that could never be emptied. And Lillian replied, "Hey, all I do is scoop out my bucket full." What a great answer. When you commit your life to Jesus, all he asks you to do is scoop out your bucket full and leave the rest to him. And you will be amazed, literally amazed at how he will work through you to lead others to new life. Some of you haven't been amazed because you haven't done that. Check this out. You want to hear something incredible? In 1972, NASA launched the exploratory space probe called Pioneer 10. Now, its main mission, catch this, was to reach Jupiter and to send back information about that planet. This was really a bold plan at the time because at the time this happened, no satellite had ever gone beyond Mars. But Pioneer 10, it accomplished its mission and so much more. It swept past Jupiter in November 1973, then past Saturn, then past Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. By 1997, Pioneer 10, listen, was more than 6 billion, with a B, 6 billion miles from the sun. But despite that immense distance, Pioneer 10 continued to beam back radio signals to Earth. But that's not even the most remarkable thing. The most remarkable thing is that those signals were powered by a little 8-watt transmitter. That's about as much power as it takes to power up your bedroom nightlight. I mean, not even the most optimistic scientist could ever have imagined what that little 8-watt transmitter could do. And so it is, friends, when we offer ourselves to God in faithful obedience. By fishing for people and leading them to Christ, we can change the world. It's absolutely incredible what God can do through little 8-watt transmitters like you and me. When we're tuned in and turned on for him. So, friends, when you become tired or discouraged or filled with doubt about whether or not your efforts are making any difference, please remember this. Jesus' disciples faced harassment and rejection, imprisonment, beatings, and even death for their work. But they also convinced thousands of people that Jesus is Lord and Savior for all humankind. They planted churches all over the Roman Empire, all over Africa, all over Arabia, and today over 1 billion people from every race and nation call themselves Christians. From 12 to a billion. And there are Christian churches in every corner of the world. In fact, you and I are here today because of the work of Peter and Paul and the other apostles who committed their work and their lives to the ministry and message of Jesus Christ. And now it's our turn. I challenge you this morning. Commit your life to Jesus and see how he can give you a new sense of energy. You say, I don't think so. I'm too tired to do it. Do it and watch. No, do it and you will have energy and vitality. I'm celebrating today with my 73rd birthday. Yeah. People say, well, way to go. What do you mean? Wait? All I did was breathe, and I kept breathing, and pretty soon it was my birthday again. Well, we had a big shindig yesterday where everybody came for my birthday at a jam session out at BB's Lawnside Barbecue, and we had a great time. But the thing is, people say, oh, wow, I can't believe you're 73. Wow, look at all the energy you got. I say, yeah, well, why? You say, well, it's just genes. It's genetic. Oh, no, it isn't. No. The reason I'm not dead or dragging or wishing I was dead, because I'm spending my life trying to reach people for Jesus Christ. The reason I go to that place I went to yesterday was so people could know that I'm a Christian and see my life and have a chance to talk with me and me talk with them about new life. Not this church. New life in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, you can keep your vitality and keep your energy if you will just commit your life to Christ and see, accept, embrace the vision, which is to be a fisher of men. And all of you go, good for you. Good for you, Pastor. Go, man. Happy for you. Win some for me, Pastor. Do you know most people will never lead even one person to Jesus Christ in their entire life. I don't want to make anybody feel bad. Yeah. Maybe I can't say that. I don't want to. I want you to feel as bad as humanly possible. That you've not done anything. And you know it's what I'm saying is true because most of you are just like that. You can't name one person that you have led to Jesus Christ. And you know it's true. You say, yeah, but I've lived a good life and they've saw me. They've seen me. They saw me, and then they know I'm a Christian, I'm pretty sure. And then they say, oh, that doesn't impress anybody. I spent some time yesterday at this shindig we were at. Some people came, and they were talking to me afterwards. You know, I'm a Christian. I go to church and everything. But I've been listening to these podcasts, and I wanted to know what you thought about this. They said, these podcasts are talking about there's different level. You know, God probably has people on earth, but he has people in other parts of the universe. And then, and talking about, and after people die, there was this kid, you know, He's 5 years old, and he started talking about stuff that happened a long time ago, and he is like, he thought maybe he'd been here before. And they start checking out his story, and by golly, guess what? It was all true. He knew stuff that he couldn't know. He was only five. So anyway, so what do you think of that? And besides that, there's probably, and I think there's all these religions, there's many ways to God. You know, all this stuff. I'm a Christian, you know, I go to church. Yeah. And you know what my response to him was? Being kind. I mean, shoot, they're talking. They want to talk. That's great. I said, well, I hear where you are. You're really seeking truth. And you may call yourself a Christian, you may go to church, but I can tell you one thing, you're not. You're not a believer. You don't believe. You're looking for something to believe in, but you don't believe. You have not settled on this is it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to all those stupid podcasts, entertaining all this crazy stuff. You wouldn't, you know what? You never look. Jesus is always the last thing. You know, you look at all these things, and Jesus is always the last thing. Why is he the last thing? Because once you have him, you don't need to look anymore. So I know that you haven't found it yet. You're still looking, and I applaud you. Keep looking. Just don't listen to those stupid podcasts unless you're going to throw the Bible out. And by the way, just so you know, if there are many ways to God, Jesus is not one of them. Oh, yeah, I think he is. Well, you know, why do you say that? Jesus said he was the only way to God. What kind of a liar would say that if there are many ways? So Jesus is the only way, or he's none of the ways. Are you hearing me? Don't think there's a lot of ways to God. There's not. There's just one. But you see, being involved in those kind of conversations, you say, how did you ever get in those kind of conversations? Well, I don't know. Maybe because I talk about Jesus Christ. What a novel idea. I'm afraid people will roll their eyes if I do that. Oh, that's a bad deal right there. How many eye rolls can you stand without getting sick or something, you know? Come on. Gee, many crickets. We have the truth. We have the answer. Why are we so apologetic and so afraid to tell people the truth? Well, they don't like it. Okay. The truth's still the truth. I'm not here to make friends. I hope you like me, but I'm here to tell you about Jesus Christ. I'm here to warn you, and I'm worried about your soul if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ. And you can get mad at me for loving you so much, but I'm still going to love you. Can you do that? Can you be more concerned about what God's thinking than about what they're thinking? Just a mindset. So, tune in. Turn on for the glory of God. Do you want to get rid of your tired spirit? Say yes. Yes. Do you want to be healed of your tiredness? Yes. Say yes, yeah. Then be what God created you to be. Allow him to use you as a fisher of people, and you will experience a life of fulfillment and purpose and hope and joy as he changes the world through you. Will you pray with me? Say this. Say, my Lord and my God, enable me to see you and your vision for my life. Heal my tired spirit as I dedicate my entire life to serving you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.